Blog Talk Radio.
Good morrow and welcome back to The Realm. I am epic and dark fantasy author J.V. Hilliard, your friendly neighborhood scribe. And for those of you making your first adventure into The Realm, this is my vast and sweeping domain where I feature a variety of creatives on a weekly basis that specialize in a plethora of art forms. And as always, if you like what you hear, you could find me and my epic and dark fantasy books at www.jvhilliard.com or follow me at JV Hilliard Books on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. And I guess Twitter now is X. I can't get that out of my head. Or you can also look for me at JV Hilliard, just JV Hilliard, on Facebook and Discord. And as we reach our witching hour, let me cast my magic spell and take control of the airways of Blog Talk Radio. And for you D&D nerds out there like me, the duration of my magic's about 30 minutes. So set your sundials and let's enter the realm together. Today we'll be chronicling the adventures of a fellow speculative scribe, Michael Young. Michael is an author. He's a musician. He's an actor. He writes in nonfiction. He writes in fiction. He has blogs. I don't know what this guy doesn't do and have the time to do. I'm excited to have him on the show. I've been waiting for a while to get him on here, and I want to talk about his work in a variety of places. Michael, well met, and welcome to the realm.
Oh, thank you. Sir. I appreciate the invite to come.
Well, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and the kind of stuff you do, whether it's writing or any other art forms you've got as a creative, and let them know where they can find you.
Oh, absolutely. So I do write both fiction and nonfiction. My fiction is heavily fantasy, speculative sci-fi sort of stuff. I have several series in that vein. I also do nonfiction. I'm a musician, and I sing with a very large choir, and I get to tour around, which has been a lot of fun. And so I write nonfiction about music. I've got one that talks about the history of Christmas carols, for example, and then it has a QR code on after each one, so that you can go watch a performance of it, that sort of thing. You can find me at authormichaelyoung.com. I've got all my books up there. I've got not only my ebooks and physical books that you get on Amazon, but I have a lot of my titles on Audible as well for my fellow audiobook junkies. I love audiobooks. And so I'm really happy with the number of my books that are available on Audible as well.
Well, thanks for that. And I'm certain we're going to get into some of these things and talk specifically about your work. But I'm going to start out with a more of a generic question. You know, in my previous day job, before I became an author, I did a lot of nonfiction writing, most of it ghostwriting. I wrote policy papers, grants, speeches, things like that for I was a DC defense lobbyist at the time. And then COVID hit and there was nothing to do for a year and a half. And all of a sudden I had this career shift that I became an author and all I was writing was fiction. You do both and you balance it well. And I've heard that knife cuts both ways. There's the part that says people need to know you and know where to find you. You don't look for Stephen King in a romance section. But by the same token, you know, you've seemed to balance that pretty successfully writing your fiction and your nonfiction. Do you find that your readership follows you through both, or do you have two different types of readerships? And how do you balance that as an author?
Yeah, that is a little tricky. I feel like, yeah, there is some crossover, of course. I think people who know me well and know my musical side too are interested in what I have to say about music. But people that just like my fantasy are a little more inclined just to stick over there. I just enjoy it. I enjoy a little variety. It kind of scratches a different writing itch. Doing the research and learning and turning up the nonfiction stuff. I also have a gig where I work for a university and I write curriculum for them. And so that kind of, I don't know, I just always like both sides of the aisle, so to speak. You learn.
But do you find it challenging then to kind of balance that, or is that, it sounds to me like it comes natural to you.
Yeah, I mean, it's sometimes, for example, I send out an author newsletter every, a couple times a month, and have to decide, like, okay, you know, what the highlights and how much to highlight at each side of my author stuff. And, you know, just trying to find ways to make my nonfiction look appealing to even those who are mostly here for the fantasy. But, I mean, it's not like the nonfiction I write is not stuffy textbook stuff. You know, I feel like there's a broad, music has a broad enough appeal that I find a lot of people will forgive me if I feature my nonfiction book at the top of my newsletter every once in a while.
No, that's fair. And I think that readers are exactly that. They're super forgiving, intellectual people that enjoy a plethora of stuff. I find it that in my spot, I've always been desiring of writing a vampire novel. I have this great idea for it. It diverts tremendously. I mean, writing a horror novel versus, and one that's contemporary or maybe urban fantasy at best, you know, stepping away from epic and dark fantasy, my readership, I'm not sure that they would follow into that. It's almost like I have to gather my own, but I think you've done a really good job of balancing that. But I would say that the majority of listeners to this show are readers, but we also have authors that watch and creatives in general, but that's the lion's share. I mean, this is a pretty unique show and we focus, you know, on, I think, an underserved, you know, demographic in that respect. And a lot of them are always looking for advice from successful folks like you. So I'm going to ask a couple of questions in that vein. You know, first of all, you know, do you ever get writer's block? And if you do, do you have something, you know, whether it's a discipline or whether it's a, you know, you listen to music or, you know, you get a shot of whiskey or something like that to break that up. What's your advice to them as to how you can break through some of that writer's block?
You know, I don't often struggle with that, but I'll tell you why. It's not that I have some superhuman writing powers. It's more that I feel like my preparation, I spend enough time preparing for what I'm writing that I often am able to sort of invest enough time that I figured it out before I sit down to write. And like when I'm not writing and I'm doing other things that I kind of let the different plot elements, you know, kind of simmer in my mind for a while. And often I'll have kind of breakthroughs when I'm not writing. And then I have to pull out my phone and write down like, okay, this is what's going to happen next. Like, I need to keep that idea fresh. So the next time I sit down to write, I can continue that. Free writing phase is so crucial. But it's not like I don't map out absolutely every single thing that's going to happen. I like to have a little bit of freedom to kind of explore, and often I'll find better things than what I originally planned. But having the kind of, they call it the fence post outline, where you know you've got certain beats you definitely want to hit, and you have kind of fun on the journey connecting the two beats.
So to use a terminology that our author friends will understand, you're part plotter and part pantser. So you're kind of
planter,
right? You know, is that what I'm hearing here? Because I'm the opposite. I can't write. If you said, hey, Joe, here's three words, you know, you got an hour, come back. I want 1,250 words from you. I freeze. Like I need a direction to write, you know, and I'm not the Stephen King, sit there and brainstorm my way out of it. And then, you know, and for me, I avoid writer's block because I am the ultimate planner. Like, I already know what's happening at the end before I start writing the beginning, and I write backwards sometimes because it's just, like, I'll write certain scenes, and then that gets me into other things. Sounds to me like you're a nice hybrid of both. Am I right in that? I don't want to label you that way, but it sounds to me like that's the case.
I totally am, because I enjoy both things. I enjoy having a little bit of security of knowing, like, okay, I'm not going to go completely off the rails, and it's going to be, you know, end up, got to like throw the whole thing out and start over. But I do like kind of the thrill of, you know, kind of sitting with the characters and trying to, you know, and kind of build the scene as it's happening. And sometimes and find these little surprises. I mean, that part is part of the payoff for me as an author. Like I hadn't planned it this way, but then, ooh, as I'm writing, like, well, what if this happened instead? And it's better than my original plan. I allow myself that flexibility to go, I guess as Bob Ross would say, those happy little accidents. You know? and go those fun new ways that I come up with while I'm writing.
Well, you do more than write, though. I mean, we feature creatives on this show every week, and you do acting. It's funny because in preparation for the show, I went to your website, and I'm like, what does this guy not do? You know, he's a musician. He writes nonfiction. He writes fiction. I started reading your Canticle Kingdom, which we'll get into in a second, in terms of your YA fantasy stuff, and then you're off doing music things. And I mean, like, do you have a favorite? Do you prefer it, or do you like the idea that you're sort of this jack of all trades, and one day you're acting, the next day you're doing music writing, the third day you're writing your YA fantasy? I mean, or do you truly have a favorite, like you call home? Like you said, like most of your stuff is fantasy oriented.
Yeah, I kind of think of myself as a bit of a Renaissance man, where I do have a broad range of things I enjoy doing, and I just like the variety. I find that kind of switching gears, doing different things, I never get tired of any one thing. I don't get burnt out on just like, okay, I've got to crank out X number of words today. I sit down and write for a while, and then I might go and look and, oh, I'm working on this piece that I'm arranging, or I'm often in a show or have a concert, they're all just kind of aspects of my personality. And I just feel most alive when I'm creative. And it doesn't really matter to me what kind of creative, but they're all just really enjoyable.
No, I got you. That's fine. I mean, I was going to ask the question, I mean, do you feel more comfortable in the nonfiction stuff or the fiction stuff? But it sounds to me like you said, you're a Renaissance guy, just whatever mood hits you is kind of the wind that's blowing you that day. In terms of publishing, though, we get a blend on here. Like, I feature just as many indie authors as I do traditionally published authors. Tell us about your experience in that, and do you have a favorite and why? Like, why did you choose to go down the publishing path you did, and what advantages have you found, and perhaps even some disadvantages? Give our listeners some tips.
Oh, absolutely. So I'm a bit of a hybrid. Some of my projects are traditionally published. My latest book that's coming out next, for example, is through a publisher called Shadow Mountain. It's a music nonfiction book. That's been really nice. They provide this thing called an advance, which was wonderful. all my self-publishing products, of course, that's unheard of. You don't get advances when you self-publish.
No.
But,
no.
No, no, no. They did my last nonfiction one too, and just they were able to get me into lots of bookstores. They sent up all these mailers to everybody in the region, let me do book signings. That was really nice. It was hard to get in with them, but I was persistent. It honestly took many years and cultivating relationships for them to finally take a chance on me. And it turned out really well. Though there are some things that I write that are so niche that I feel like, if I pitch them to a traditional publisher, they're like, great book. Like, this don't fit the wider audience for it. So things like that, I think that's the perfect thing to self-publish. There are going to be, people who will appreciate your topic or your book. And I do love having the more kind of creative control over it, about what the cover is going to look like. It's a lot of work on your part. I kind of taught myself and have a lot of the steps of that process myself, like how to do InDesign, graphic design, and writing back cover copy. There's just a lot of things to think about. And if you're willing to either invest in learning it yourself or to build a kind of a network of people who you can trust to do good quality work, it could be a lot of fun to self-publish. it's just you have to be willing to do all of the work.
Do you, you know, that, yeah, that begs another question, one that I wasn't going to ask, but I'm going to ask now too. I mean, we talked a little bit about traditional versus self-publishing and the indie route and things like that. But what's the most difficult part about writing for you? I think a lot of our listeners would want to hear that. I mean, they always hear what's your favorite part or what do you like the most. What's the most difficult for you, and how do you, as an experienced author, what kind of sage advice can you offer to those that are listening to overcome that big obstacle that you face all the time?
Yeah, I'd say that there's only one thing in my mind that stands in first place, and that's marketing. Marketing.
Oh, there you go.
Is just really, really hard. Gosh. I'd say I've had a lot of success with building my author newsletter. That's been a really good experience for me. I started out with one that lets you host up to 1,000 subscribers, and I started sending out letters, and I got on with some different platforms. This one I use is called Story Origin, what it does is allows you to arrange like swaps with other people in their newsletters. Like, I'll promote your book if you promote my book in your newsletter, and you're able to kind of cross promote with each other. I see a lot of success from that. So I'd say that's a great place to start if you don't have any other platform for any other voice. Start building your author newsletter and start, printing out content on a regular basis, and get in touch with that kind of core, the most avid fans and readers, those people will be most likely, every time when you come out with something new, you know, those are the people you should tell first, because they're going to be your biggest supporters, and they'll be most likely to purchase your new products if they'd like to.
As an author, what's the best money you've ever spent? Is it on a tech thing? Is it on editing? Is it on marketing like you just described? You know, give us a little bit of hint. I mean, if there was one thing that you would do all the time or one thing you did that gave you an advantage or solved a problem for you, what is that one thing?
You know, one thing I'm really happy I invested in is called Pro Writing Aid. I bought a lifetime subscription to it. You can do it like at a monthly basis, but they had a deal and I got on. And so you put up your work and it can run various reports on it. And the one I love the most is called Glue Index Report. And those are your sentences that are a little too wordy. They bog you down. They're sticky sentences, they call them. It helps me catch those. And then I'm able to go in and tighten up my writing. It helps me in not just like, okay, I'm going to sit down and edit this. I'm just going to read it and see, you know, like it helps you. You can run different reports like, hey, these are the words you overuse. You know, let's trim down the instances of how many times you say this phrase in your book. And it's just really cool technology that's helped me tighten up my writing, and I'm always learning, like, okay, in the future, this is a different way I could do it based on what I learned from this report.
So, you know, we talked a lot about your writing and some things that you can give, but let's talk about the favorite stuff you've done. I mean, the Canticle Kingdom stuff looks to me like that might be your most popular. Is that your favorite? Let's talk about the books you've written, so you give the audience a little bit of a flavor of the kind of stuff you write.
Absolutely. Canticle Kingdom was my first series, so it all has a very special place in my heart. I lived in Germany for a few years, and it's got a lot of that, some of it takes place in Germany, and it has some of those elements of kind of German fairy tales and culture in it. The story focuses around a group of people who live inside of a music box, but that aren't they're not aware of that fact. They live in this kingdom within the music box, And sometimes the music box will play and somebody in the real world hears the music from the music box and gets transported inside to this kingdom called the Canticle Kingdom. Canticle is just another word for music or song.
And have you found commercial success with that too, or is that something that was just like a pet project, something that's near and dear to your heart? Sounds like a really interesting concept, and because it's YA, I think it's really introductory to a group of folks that are going to go from young adult readers to new readers to readers, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I came out quite a long time ago, but yeah, initially when it first came out, it was very successful. I got in quite a few bookstores and it was a great way to kind of launch things. I did that series. I did another one that's more kind of urban fantasy. That's the Last Archangel series was my second one. I have one called the Chess Quest series, which is more kind of a middle grade reading level. But there's five books, and each one has a different chess piece on the cover. It's a fantasy.
As a chess player, I love that. Love that concept.
Okay. Yeah, the chess plays an integral role in kind of the magic system and the world building of it. You know, there's a society of good knights versus a society of bad knights, kind of the two sides of a chessboard, and they each have different abilities based on their rank. You know, so some are rooks and some are bishops and pawns and whatnot. And it follows one boy who starts out, of course, as a pawn and, you know, gets promoted through the ranks, so to speak. But, yeah, that is also was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I can imagine. That sounds like a lot of fun. That's something as a middle grader I would have loved to have read. So I'm sorry I missed it. I think I'm a little old for it now, but I dip into all that stuff because it's, as long as it's fantasy oriented, there's always some sort of catch for me in there. So look, question before we go into our lightning round here. Have you found any inspiration from other authors? Do you have a favorite or somebody that you're patterning yourself after that you found inspiration for, or even something you read and you're like, oh, that's really cool. I've got a better idea. Let me build off of that.
Oh, totally. There's several. You know, I grew up on, I grew up on the my parents read me Tolkien and C.S. Lewis, of course, and that's what got me hooked into fantasy. But I like Robert Jordan and Terry Brooks quite a bit. Brandon Sanderson is a big influence. They actually, he lives pretty close to me. I've met him a few times and been at writers' conferences with him. And I've also, another book that really influenced me was Ender's Game. Orson Scott Card,
man, I love that book.
Yeah, I met him too. He also lives here in Utah. So, those are some of my major influences. I really love magic systems and intricate world building, and I think Brandon Sanderson is kind of the king of that. So I have definitely taken some good notes from him, so to speak.
Yeah, you know, you started off with the granddaddies of them all with Tolkien and Lewis, right? I mean, it's hard. I mean, if it were not for them, there would not be the genre that it is. You're right. In modern day stuff, like Sanderson is. He's got top billing among just a handful of others. And, I can see that. And I would claim the same, mostly the same for me. I'm a big R.A. Salvatore guy. I like Margaret Weis and Tracy Hickman stuff for Dragonlance. I'm a big D&D person. So, you know, for me, that I think tracks well. And I think you and I have a lot more to talk about off air. I can tell you that. I think we've got some things we could share with one another. But we're coming down to the last few minutes. I've got just a few lightning round questions for you. We always try to have fun with our guests. And so I'm going to throw some things at you to put you on the spot, see how you answer them. Are you ready to go into the lightning round?
Let's do it.
All right, Michael. You are invited to a lunch with one author and only one author, living or dead. Who would they be and why?
Ooh, that's awesome. I want to talk to Tolkien. I'm a languages guy.
Oh, there you go.
I love language. I speak German myself, but I love like the etymology of words and stuff. I admire him so much for his, you know, of course his books, but I want to talk linguistics with him and how he, you know, created languages. I think that would just be fascinating.
Yeah, he's the epic fantasy author of all time, right? Like there's no one bigger, better and badder. I find his stuff in the same vein where it's just like the guy made his own language. As much world building as I did for Warminster, it doesn't even hold a candle to what this guy has done. You know, he's written thousands of years of history. It's just ridiculous. So I'm glad you chose Tolkien. I would have taken him too. Second thing, library is burning and you rush in to help and you can only save one book and that book can't be one of yours. Which book is it and why?
Ooh, oh gosh. Can't be one of mine. Okay, all my books are burning. That's too bad.
Sorry, man.
No,
that's an easy out. Too much of an easy out.
I know. Yeah, seriously. Ooh. That is really, really hard. Gosh, I don't know if I can choose just one.
Well, you only get one. Your hands will only reach one before they burn off. So you got to grab just one. Which one are you grabbing?
Okay. I'd grab the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I'd want to share with my kids.
There you go. Good answer. Good answers. You got your Tolkien in and you got your C.S. Lewis in. So
that's
well
right.
Played.
They were my foundational people. So, who are the next generation, you know?
I gotcha. Last question. Your favorite place to go in the world? I know that there are some undiscovered spots. Other times they're super touristy places. What is your favorite place to go in the world?
You know, that's easy. I would say my favorite place I've ever been was Salzburg, Austria. We were up in the mountains there, and it looked like a completely different planet. It was just so incredibly beautiful, not only the natural beauties, but also the architectural beauty and, you know, just the significance of the music, as well. Just all of that combined just made a kind of a magical feeling to the place.
Well, look, my friend, well said. I went to, on our honeymoon, we visited Neuschwanstein Castle in right there. I'm a big castle guy. We went to Scotland, England, and Germany. My family's from Germany originally, and so it was like we visited some that couldn't come to our wedding. We went to Munich to see them, and I, like you, I speak some German, not as well as you do, obviously, but enough to get around, and we ended up seeing Linderhof Palace and Neuschwanstein, and it was just Hohenschwangau was on the trip too. Just loved it. Salzburg we couldn't get to in that respect, but it was just one of those places we want to go back to. But we're coming to the end of my duration here on my message spell, and I could feel the magic fading from my eyes. But before I leave, I want to thank you one more time for being on the show. And can you please tell everybody where they can find you and where they can buy your books?
Absolutely. You can find me at authormichaelyoung.com. All my books are available on Amazon, and also there are many of them that are available on Audible for you audiobook listeners.
Well, thanks again, Michael. Really appreciate having you on. Then your next book that comes out, let me know. We'll have you back on. I'd love to have you. I think everyone's going to love this show. Thank you very much for taking the time. And to our followers, thanks again for lending us your ear tonight. And until next time, I am J.V. Hilliard, and may your gods go with you. Thanks again, Michael.
You bet. Have a good one.
Yeah.